Everything is a part of preparation, isn't it? Everything that God is doing right now. And there's another arena of preparation that I want to talk about. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now that is powerful. I want to talk about spiritual readiness. Spiritual readiness is an important part as a believer. If you're not ready, you could be dead. God always prepares us. In fact, spiritual readiness is the state of being prepared. Has everybody got it? Spiritual readiness is the state of being prepared. It's like a little child who doesn't get prepared to cross a street. It becomes a standard for that child before he crosses the street to look both ways. I mean, you and I as an adult still do the same thing. We look both ways before crossing the street. Because if we're not ready, if we haven't been prepared or in a state of being prepared, in that state of being ready, a readiness state, being alert, you and I can get hit, can't we? It's the same thing in the spirit realm. It's so important that you and I stay in spiritual readiness or a state of being prepared, state of ready. Amen? Praise God. It says here in verse 6, it said, would you read it with me? And being what? Ready to punish all disobedient when your obedience is fulfilled. So what he's saying, he says, listen, if your obedience is not being fulfilled, that means you're not in a state of readiness. Does everybody understand that? Did I lose anyone? Why y'all got a blank face on me? What is the state of readiness? Or the state of spiritual readiness is the state of being prepared. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Glorious. Spiritual readiness. First Peter chapter 5. Can everybody hear me? Good. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 8. Everybody there? Let's read it together. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now that is a state of being prepared, isn't it? Because spiritual readiness has something to do with sensitivity, alertness, being sober-minded. He says right now, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary is trying to wipe you out. People who are not spiritually prepared or in a state spiritually ready get wiped out. You know why? Because we have that teaching, casualties of war. If you're not in a battle, you're a casualty. So spiritual readiness is always a representation of being in the battle. Amen? You must be ready. You must be on alert. You must be a watchman. You must be sensitive to not only the voice of the Lord, but the voice of the stranger. The Bible says that you and I know the voice of the stranger. Not that we don't know the voice of the stranger, but we know the voice of the stranger. Hello? Why? Well, why shouldn't we know the voice of the stranger? That's what gives us the discernment, doesn't it? So that we know what his unction is compared to what the unction is of the Holy Spirit. So you and I must be sensitive. We must be sober-minded. He says, because your adversary, the devil, is seeking whom he can devour. Look at verse 9. He says what? Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So the whole body of Christ is experiencing the same thing. What are they experiencing? They are experiencing the attack of the devil, who's trying to move them aside from walking in the faith. He's trying to deceive them. He's trying to throw fiery darts. He's trying to lay a trap for them. He is seeking someone who is not on alert. He's looking for someone who is not sober-minded. He's looking for someone whose thoughts and ways are towards self. Because an individual that's seeking self is not sober-minded. That's self-minded, double-minded. There's a difference. Is everybody with me? So the whole body of Christ is on alert right now. Why is this teaching for tonight? Because of the alertness of what's happening. You know, the Spirit always tells us things to come. Everything that He gives us through the Spirit in the teaching, sometimes we feel like, oh man, you know, I've known this before, but I know about this. Well, God is bringing it to remembrance because something is about to happen again. Oh, hallelujah. You think things are getting better out there? No way. No way. They're getting harder. Your fight today is easier than it'll be tomorrow, but it was harder than it was yesterday. So if you are not spiritually ready, if you are not alert, sober, in a state of being prepared, the devil is going to snag you. Look at verse 10. Would you read it with me? But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now let me share with you. The suffered for a while means that you were not spiritually ready. Hello? Why? Because He says, let it perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you now. Why? Because you were not spiritually ready. You bit the bait. You are not in a state of alert. You are not sober-minded. You are not vigilant. You are not diligent. And the devil snagged you because you are not in that state of being prepared. And so by being in that snare, God is saying, okay, so you suffered a while. What did you do? Did you come back to repentance? See, that's one of the things that you and I must be prepared for, to repent as quick as possible. Amen? So that we can come back out of that and get back into the alert. You know, when the country it's got all this terrorist alert, it goes from high, low, whatever, I don't know. I believe that like on some of the naval ships and so forth, they've got red alert and all kinds of color codes, whatever the alert is, because they're always on ready. They're always on ready. Always on ready. In preparation. Why? Because they're in a state of being prepared. So they're ready to do whatever it is. You just can't send a submarine out there, a warship, fill it with nuclear missiles, to not be in ready mode. Well, we'll get ready when we get there. You know how many people think that? I'll get ready when I get there. That's a deception of the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Be ready to resist the devil. Everybody must be ready. If not ready, God says that you'll suffer to get ready. This verse is saying, listen, get ready. In the beginning of it says, be sober-minded. By the time you get verse 10, you weren't ready, and this is what happens. So if you're not ready, you better get ready. Hello? Okay, praise God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. See, then what he's going to do, he's going to settle you till you become, to your alertness, your readiness is a part of your life. It's no longer of, well, I need to get ready. You are ready. From the morning you wake up to the moment you put your eyes closed, you're ready. Glory to God. This is military tonight. We're having a little Holy Ghost boot camp tonight. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Glory to God. Verses 1 through 4. Would you read it with me? I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, what was Paul telling Timothy? Get ready. Stay in the state of being prepared, because they're going to turn from what you're saying. They will heap up itching ears. Now listen, Timothy, he says, I want you to be ready in season and out. In other words, don't go by how you feel. Don't go by what your circumstances are. Don't go by what you think. You must be in ready mode all the time. Is everybody with me? No matter, you know how many people choose to go by how they feel? You know, I really don't feel like praying this morning. Who does? I mean, the devil attacks everyone. The first thing he wants to do is shoot in there. Man, you could sure use a couple hours more sleep, especially when you're up since 4:30. You know, and you went to bed at 12. You could use a couple of hours more sleep. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues, so that we can pray in the Spirit, stir ourselves up, and get up. That's why He gave me and you a voice, so that you can attack before you're attacked. What we need to do as soon as we get out of bed, be on alert. Be on alert. Oh, hallelujah. And Paul charged Timothy, he says, listen, man, no matter how you feel, Timothy, I don't care how you feel, as a matter of fact. Get ready. Get ready. Who's the preacher that says, get ready, get ready, get ready? TDJ. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. We need to be ready all the time. Amen? Go to Jeremiah 42. Glorious. Are you ready? Jeremiah 42, 1 through 6. Everybody can still hear me? Glory to God. Would you read it with me? And all the captains of the forces, Johanan, the son of Kariah, Zelaniah, the son of Hosaniah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, please let our petition be accepted to you, and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing which we should do. Everybody wants to know the way that they should walk and what they should do. Well, that means you better be in the state of being prepared, spiritually ready, alert. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard indeed, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. So they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you, whether it is pleasing or displeasing. In other words, whether it feels good or it doesn't, whether I'm willing or not willing, I'm going to still do it. Whether it is pleasing or displeasing, whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense, whether I can understand it or I can't understand it, whether it's dirty or it's clean. If this is what you want me to do, they were making covenant with God. They said, you know what? Whatever it is, Lord. Whether it's pleasing or displeasing, whether it's something I desire or something I can't stand, I'll do it. Because I want to be in a state of being prepared. I want to be spiritually ready. I want to be spiritually ready. Whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Oh, hallelujah. You know how many people struggle with that? Because of they don't get it according to their way, or it just doesn't seem right. Many people are not ready to face or are prepared to face the world. And they need to be face the attack. Obey no matter how you feel. Grumblers and complainers are defeated before they can start. You got that? They resist being ready. You know, when you're too much in the flesh, you can't be prepared. It's difficult to get in the state of preparation. Too much of the flesh. Too much is, you know, it's like when you get up in the morning, the devil puts a sign in front of you. And the Lord stands there with his arms open. You're either going to read the sign or walk into the arms of the Lord. Is everybody with me? But if you're not spiritually ready, you'll read the sign instead of seeing the Lord. You'll miss God. See, you and I must be prepared. We must know when to move and when not to move. When to talk and when not to talk. That's all a part of spiritual readiness. All of that is being vigilant, being alert, and being sensitive. So they said, that's it. We don't care. We have gone around this mountain long enough. We've tried and failed. Now we're willing to do whatever it takes. You know, I'll never forget when the Lord said to me, of course I didn't know it was the Lord, because I had enough of this life. I wanted to end it. And I wanted to get off of drugs and alcohol. And he said, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol or do you want a whole new life? I thought, well, I tried to get off the drugs and alcohol and that hasn't worked yet. So I thought the only answer was, I want a whole new life. And I meant it. And he said to me, show me. And I said, all right. I'll do whatever it takes, whether it's pleasing or displeasing to me. Whatever it takes, and I'm going to stay there. But I'm going to need your help. I can't do it. I didn't care if I washed toilets. God made way for me to get into detox. When I stepped in detox, he already started wooing me. Things already started happening. By the time I left detox, the fight began. I was off the drugs and alcohol and desiring a whole new life but didn't know how to get it yet because I never accepted the Lord yet. And I fought for 2 months, staying away, doing what I thought was best for me, sanctifying myself. I didn't know any other way. I prayed. And God sent someone across my path as I waited. And as I waited and I waited, and those 2 months seemed like a long time. Then I was introduced to Christ. And he showed up and it was over. Actually, that's when it all began. Hallelujah. And from that point on, I realized an understanding of being ready. I understood that certain things of, because I was in a baby in Christ. You know, when you first become a baby in Christ, you're like real sensitive and alert. And people get dull after a while. They get complacent. They come to a point where, well, it's the same old routine. They get lazy. But I'll tell you who never gets lazy, who never gives up, and who's always on alert, the devil. He says he's always seeking whom he can devour. He never rests nor sleeps. His kingdom is always looking to take out a believer. He's not so interested in the unbeliever. He's trying to prevent the kingdom of God from expanding. He's already got the unbeliever. In fact, he takes more of his devils off of them and comes after me and you. That's why it seems like the unbeliever is prospering and having a good time. But they're not. They may seem it on the outward, but inwardly, they're tormented. It's only a temporary thing. Oh, things are great. How are you doing? Wonderful. Yeah, they shut their doors and they're in torment. But God knows what's going on behind closed doors. You know what? They don't know what alertness is, or readiness is, or sensitivity is, or clarity, or sober-minded. They don't understand that the only thing that they're looking at is whether they're good. Well, I'm a good person. They can't comprehend righteousness. They can only comprehend whether it's good or evil. But see, when you and I are in a state of being prepared, in a spiritually ready, you discern. You see. You know what to receive and you know what to give. You know what to reject and you know time. You know when to walk, you know when to stop. You know when to say yes, and you know when to say no. Because your path is no longer directed by you. That's all you're doing is agreeing with the one who's directing your path. But there is a process, there is a preparation, isn't there? Everything is a preparation. That's why you and I are to be in a state of preparation. We're in a state of being prepared. In other words, you've been prepared now. That's why God said, disciple them. Why? What was he doing? Trying to put them in a state of preparation, wasn't he? A state of being prepared. Why? So they can be alert. They can be sober-minded. They can be sensitive. They can see the things of God and not miss when God is trying to get some. You know how many people miss the blessing of God because they were not in a state of readiness? Spiritually ready? Well, if you're not spiritually ready, God won't give you things. If you're not spiritually ready, you'll miss things of God. Spiritually readiness. Is everybody okay? Luke 22. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 22. Verse 31. Spiritual readiness. It doesn't mean you've made it. Does everybody understand? I don't want anybody to think that because God has put us in a state of being prepared that our spiritual readiness has said that we've made it. None of us has made it. But we're being prepared to make it. Verse 31, would you read it with me? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Hello. So you think he's doing the same thing for you? You're darn tootin'. He wants to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he knew he was going to bite the bait. Watch this. But he said to him, Lord, I am what? Ready. He thought he was ready, didn't he? You know when people think they're ready? I'm ready. Send me to work. I'm ready. Send me here. I'm ready. Yeah. This is the girl. This is the one. This is the girl. This is the. I'm ready to get married. I'm ready. Hallelujah. I'm ready. Yeah, man. I'm almost certified. I'm ready. Certified disciples. I'm ready. Hallelujah. And he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you. Hello? He said, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. I'm ready. Spiritually ready. Jesus backed up a little bit and he said, let me tell you something, Pete. The rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times, saying that you know me. But I'm ready. No, you're not. You think you're ready, but you're going to deny me three times. Brother Pete thought he was ready. Do you remember when he was going to, you know, fight for Jesus? And Jesus said, Satan, get ye behind me. He thought he was ready. But God was preparing him. God was preparing him. His confessions were his heart expressing, this is what I want. But he couldn't. Many people express what they want, but they just can't yet because they're not spiritually ready. Has everybody got it? Yeah, man, I'm going to. That's where the Bible talks about, you know, where the seed's been on three types of ground. I'm so spiritually ready, I can't fight my way out of a paper bag. But I'm confessing it. Hello? All of us have fallen in that area. There isn't one person in this room, including myself, at one time or another that didn't think that we were ready in one area and found out how wrong we were. First Peter chapter 3. Yeah, we convinced ourselves, and when that gentle voice of the Holy Spirit said, you're not ready for that yet. Oh, that must be the devil. We start rebuking the Holy Ghost and binding him. I'm not going to accept that. Get behind me, devil. It's me, the Lord. Oh. Oh, hallelujah. You know, if we could just really, really see through what God sees through and all of his children, you know? I mean, some of the things we do, I think some of the things I do that the Lord laughs so hard. He can't get on his throne. That's maybe some of why things are taking so long with me, you know? Because the things I do, he's just laughing hysterically. Hallelujah. I'll get to you, guy. Praise God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 13, Would you read it with me? And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, always be ready. Now wait a minute, we've come from a state of being ready to always being ready. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Always be ready. Always. That's a state of being prepared. Spiritual readiness. Always be ready. Now, it says here, always be ready to give a defense. That means there's a fight. You must always be ready to fight. Remember the first scripture we went to was casting down thoughts, imaginations. In other words, if you're not spiritually ready, if you're not in a state of alert, those thoughts and imaginations are going to move you out of position. You're not going to be sensitive or have the clarity of what the Spirit is saying. You're going to be more sensitive to what the devil is saying, because you know the voice of the stranger. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Amos. Gladius. Right after Joel. Okay, where's Joel? All right. Right after Hosea. All right, where's Hosea? Amos 4. I believe so. Uh-oh. Let me see. Yeah. In verse 12, would you read it with me? Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. You know what? We must be in a state of preparation, a state of being prepared to meet God Almighty all the time. If you'll stay in the state of being prepared to meet God Almighty, you'll be in an arena where repentance is manifest, where departing from evil is manifest, where humility is manifest. The Bible says, keep your mind, your thoughts, your directions, your focus on the things above and not the things of the earth. You know, I know that we all work and so forth during the week, and you know, and coming home from work, your mind is still on the things of the day. That's where you must curse every corruptible seed and every associated spirit, shake the dust off, and refocus. But see, during the day you must always refocus. It's like a radio that you're always trying to tune it in. You'll be driving down the road and it loses its station. And like one of those AM stations, you know, you go under the bridge and it goes, you lose contact. And you must focus, and it's a state of readiness. It's a state of being ready or prepared. It's alertness. So no matter what you're going through your day, you're in that area of being alert, you're sober-minded. One of the things that our responsibility is to give no place to the devil. Right? So if you're not alert and sober-minded and being in that state of prepared or spiritually ready, in that spiritual readiness mode, you're going to give place to the devil, because he's seeking whom he can devour. It's like playing defense in a basketball game one-on-one. You're always trying to prevent the person from getting to the basket. You know? So you're always expecting his next move, aren't you? And that's where you and I must be in the spirit. Always in preparation of expecting what the next move of the devil is going to be. See, because you and I have the Holy Spirit. We have the creator of the devil. He says he tells us things to come. Spiritual readiness is always in that arena of knowing that what the next move of the devil is. And it doesn't mean that you're going to know it 2 days ahead of time or 2 hours or 1 hour. You're going to know it. You could take one step and get ready to put that other foot down. By the time you put that foot down, you'll know instantly what the next step of the devil is. If you're in a state of readiness, if you're spiritual readiness. Is everybody with me? You'll know. Why? Because that's what God has granted me and you. Didn't Jesus know everything that the devil was doing when he was on the earth? Didn't he come to expose him? Well, how could he expose him if he didn't know what his next move was? Didn't he tell Peter, he says, you know what, the devil wants to sift you. Peter was like, what are you talking about? He says, but I'm praying for you. But I know he's going to snare you, so after you go through your stuff and your suffering, you repent, when you come back to me, then go strengthen your brethren. Hello? When you come back to me, because he knew he was going to deny him. He said, but when you come back to me, you suffered, now you learn something. You learn something. Now go back and strengthen your brother. Go back and minister to your brothers. Go back and help them. Why? Because the Lord settled them in that area now, didn't he? In verse 12 again, therefore thus says the Lord, therefore thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is, and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name. See, if we're sensitive enough to always be prepared to meet your maker, you know, people use that word slangly. Yeah, man, you better get ready to meet your maker. Like they're going to do something. You know, I met my maker. What's your problem? You know? You can't kill something that's already dead. Hallelujah. Hello? But if we'll stay in that arena of being prepared to meet God, we'll be a little bit more sensitive, won't we? We'll be a little bit more alert. We'll be a little bit more careful of things that we say, things that we do, things that we touch. We'll be a little bit more sensitive in every area if we'll be on that state of alert of getting ready to meet God. Amen? Praise God. Turn to Romans 14. Glory. Spiritual readiness. Romans 14. God speaking to someone tonight. All of us, isn't he? So if you think the Lord's just speaking to you alone, you're right. He is speaking to you alone and everyone else alone. Romans 14 and verse 11. Would you read it with me? For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Wow. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now, you and I must always be prepared to give account to God. That's the same thing as prepare to meet your Maker. Everyone must give account to God, no matter what it is. You never know that day you're going to go. You never know. But if you're in a state of readiness, if you're alert and sober-minded, no matter when it is, you'll be ready. Amen? You won't have to fear about what you're doing or whatever. Uh-oh. Now, those are some of the questions that we ask unbelievers. If you were to die right now, where would you go? I don't know. Well, I know. Remember, who you serve when you die is where you go. Oh, hallelujah. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Claudius. In verse 10. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Hallelujah. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Hallelujah. Spiritual readiness. You know, you never know when evil is going to fall all around you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all of a sudden somebody approaches you with something. You're at work and somebody says something. Somebody tells a dirty joke and everybody wants you to laugh with them. You know, if you laugh with them, you just ate the delicacies of the wicked. You opened yourself up to a devil. People go, oh man, I just don't believe that stuff. Really, watch your fruits later. You must be spiritually alert. Must be spiritually sensitive. Because the devil is out to seek you out. You got to remember something. He is a wounded animal. Did you ever try to get near a wounded animal? Man, they're vicious, aren't they? He's wounded. He knows his time is short. There's a hit list for every single one of us. We're on that list. Depending on your obedience, we'll either keep you on the top or lower. Hallelujah. God be the glory. See, we have to be spiritually ready when evil falls around us, when we're tempted. We must be alert and sensitive. Why? Well, who's going to tell you it's coming? The Holy Spirit. Amen? He's going to tell you what's what. He's going to tell you to depart from evil because, or from this company, because bad habits corrupt, or what is it? Bad company corrupts good habits. Right. Going to spread. It spreads like cancer. It's going to tell you when to depart. It's going to tell you when to fight. It's going to tell you when to attack. It's going to tell you when to defend. But you must be spiritually ready, alert, and sober. Amen? Turn to Matthew 24. Glory to God. How many times has the Lord said, man, don't eat that? And you ate it. Oh, did you feel terrible later? He said, don't eat that. Hello? Anybody say? Nobody wanted to say nothing on that because everybody's done that. Or when we ate too much. Man, that last meatball. Hallelujah, with that delicious sauce. That's okay, I can fit this one more. I'll feel uncomfortable later, but I'll just do a couple sit-ups. Or, then you feel uncomfortable for hours later. I know, I've been there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 24. And verse 38. Would you read it with me, please? Matthew 24 and verse 38. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, they didn't know until it was too late. Some of us didn't realize until we ended up back in jail. Amen? Some of us didn't realize, but it was too late. Oh, man. Too late. Oh, hallelujah. And we don't want to go around that mountain again, do we? People are marrying and partying, and the things of the desires of the world dulled their senses, and they lost their preparation. They lost their readiness. They lost that alertness. They lost that sensitivity. They lost that sober-mindedness. See, because the devil wants to suck you into the things of the world and bring you to you so that you become dull-minded. You become dull to the things of the Spirit. And Luke 21. Glory. And Luke 21, verses 34 and 35. Would you read it with me? But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Wow. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That powerful? That's why you and I must be spiritually ready. In Matthew 25, how many times have unexpected disasters affected people and it caused them to miss God? Unexpected disasters. How many people are in unexpected disasters right now? How many people are all around in the world? I mean, especially in Florida with the hurricane. You know, people are just so tired of trying to fix things and do this and do that and whatever. They just got fed up. You know what? They didn't protect themselves. There was enough warning all around them, but they did not protect themselves. Many people were killed during a hurricane because they didn't take heed to the warning. They chose to become lazy. Well, the other two passed. And it hurt them. To God be the glory. Matthew 25. Is that where I said to go? And verses 6 through 10. You know, it's pretty wild because this last hurricane that I knew was going to be worse, and the Lord told me to block my back windows. And that was it. He said, block the back windows. And I said, okay. I wasn't going to try and figure out what debris or what was what. I just blocked the back windows. And I thank God I did. Because that's exactly where the wind was hitting the strongest, was at my big back windows that we just put in. It was wide open there. But the front was fine. In fact, I had a sheet of plywood just leaning on my front porch. That thing didn't budge. But in my backyard, things were bouncing off of that wood and everything else. You know, but I thank God. But I had total peace. We wanted to hear. We wanted to be alert. We wanted to be ready. But none of the homes were, I mean, a few shingles, but other than that, praise God. We were prepared. We had three generators. Hallelujah. We were prepared. Everybody had ice and food and prayer. Hallelujah. Everybody was spiritually ready. Hopefully. In Matthew 25 and verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no. See, there's a time to say yes, and there's a time to say no. They were spiritually alert. They knew something was about to happen, and they were not going to get caught up and being distracted by the ghost. You know, the devil always likes to use those goats to get you out of position. They'll drain you. Oh, hallelujah. But the wise said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, who were what? Ready? Went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Hallelujah. They missed the escape, didn't they? They missed it. You know why people get snared in a darkness and backslide and so forth? Because of spiritually not being ready. Not being in a state of readiness. Not being in a state of meeting their maker. Amen. And you know what? Then they can't make the way of escape. Because God is always trying to give them a way of escape for me and you. In fact, the Bible says that the godly always makes a way of escape. Doesn't mean you won't struggle and have a fight, but you'll escape. Glory. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And verse 3. Ooh, this is good. Let's start at verse 1. And a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried to Elijah, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the jar in the house but a jar of oil." Oh, let me tell you something. When you're spiritually ready, and you're in that state of readiness, and you're in that state of preparation, in that state of clarity and sober-minded, when everything else seems like, man, there's just no way out, God always has something there for you. What did she say? He says, "What do you have?" You know, she was alert. She goes, "I have one." She didn't say anything else. She said, I mean, she had clothes, didn't she? She probably had a broom. You know, she probably had other things. But the thing that she knew because of her alertness was that God could use. She says, "I have a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere. Go borrow it from everywhere." This is what the Lord gave me the scripture when he wanted us to get homes. Because I was brought up in the tradition, man, you know, don't get in debt, and don't, you know, we're not supposed to get in debt. And I thought, you know, Lord, we're not supposed to get in debt. He said, "Guy, go borrow the money, I'll pay it." Hello? Now, it doesn't give everybody the right to go out and borrow money for these big cars and all this other stuff, so don't praise God if that's what's on your mind. Hallelujah. I'm going to borrow money tomorrow. Glory! Yeah, don't let the devil turn that into your confirmation. Many believers are in debt and can't serve God because they're in debt so much. And they go out and borrow money to get a car and they're paying 25% interest. Hallelujah. Anyways, so this was the scripture the Lord gave me when we started getting the homes. Because I thought, man, you know, I'm not going to do anything unless somebody brings us the whole cash to pay it off. Well, I said, "Guy, go borrow some vessels from everywhere. And I'll fill them." Okay. But God be the glory. He makes the payment every month. Even when we're down to a few people, made the payment every month. And that's happened often. Oh, hallelujah. Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels." He didn't say go borrow filled ones. "Do not gather just a few. Go get a bunch of them. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full one." So she went in from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt. And you and your sons live on the rest." Man, they had enough. That they could live the rest of their days. See, this is where you can't lean on your own understanding. You can't try to figure it out. You have to be obedient to what God is saying. When God is trying to bless you with answered prayer, You know, everybody's heard the story about the person crying out for help when the flood came, right? He's in the house and the flood comes, starting to come up to the first floor. And they're going, God, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Come and rescue me. This dude comes out with a boat. Says, yo, come on, get in there. It's starting to flood. I said, no, we're waiting on the Lord. Okay. Water comes up to the second floor. Right? And so forth. Finally gets to the third floor. They're on the roof. And they're going, well, Lord, where are you? This helicopter comes by. Come on, get in. No, we're waiting on the Lord. They drown. Get before the Lord. And they say, where were you, Lord? And I said, who do you think sent you all those? Where were you? You cried. You asked me. I sent it. It just didn't seem right to you. It didn't feel so right. It didn't happen the way you wanted it. So you missed me. You know why? They weren't alert, were they? They wanted the way they wanted. God had another plan. Oh, hallelujah. It's the same thing with the woman. Elijah comes in and says, listen, this is how you're going to do it. She said, okay. What do you got? I got something God can use. See, when you're spiritually alert, there's something always God can use. We needed money. When the Lord said to me, I want you to write a $1,000 check to a ministry, which I think at that time would have wiped us out. Sometimes it wipes us out every week. And he said to me, this is the person I want you to donate this money to. I knew in my spirit that he was trying to bless me. I knew that he was trying to get something to me. I didn't know from where or what was up yet, but I knew he was trying to get something to me. And I didn't know the address or what was what, and he told me to go meet this person that was going to be somewhere anyways. The person was there. I was able to bless that person in that ministry with $1,000 on a Friday. That Monday, somebody came by and wrote us a $4,700 or $4,800 check. Came by right to my house. Said, hey, I forgot to give this to you. I thought, hallelujah. Now, you know, when it's all you have and you just don't want to give that up because you're seeing all the bills and all these other things that you have to do, and it's like, you know what, I just don't know how I'm going to. That's where you got to lose sight, because you know what? You got to get spiritually discerning. You got to get sensitive. You know why? Because you don't pay the bills anyway. He does. When people come up to me and say, you know what, I don't know how you're going to pay all the mortgages. I say, I don't. How are you going to pay all these electric bills? I don't. He does. And sometimes they're whoppers, let me tell you. Hallelujah. That's when we have to go in the houses with the Holy Ghost baseball bat. Don't lean on your own understanding when God's trying to bless you. Stay spiritually sensitive, alert, sober. Don't go by the natural arena. The devil even send people who think they're believers, but you'll know them by their fruits, and they'll try and counsel you. You can't go there. Hello? You don't see their fruit. Don't be swayed. Isaiah 40. Spiritual readiness. Are you ready? We'll see. Tomorrow. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40. Remember, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. But love, power, and what? Sound mind. Glory to God. Start at verse 1. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What is he saying from the wilderness? Prepare the way for the Lord. Do you know that your spiritual readiness is preparing the way for the Lord? Does everybody understand that? Your spiritual readiness is preparing the way for the Lord. As a matter of fact, your spiritual readiness is a rescue for someone else. You know, you remember in the story about the Good Samaritan, right? Where here was a Good Samaritan that was alert and sober. And the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the other dudes, you know, they walked by the injured man. They didn't do anything for him. The Samaritan, who the Jews despise and everything else, is the one that took care of this man. He discerned. He was alert. He was sober. He honored the Lord by what he did. Because see, he didn't look at what race, what creed, what whatever this person was. He looked through the eyes of God. And when you're in spiritual readiness, and when you're in that arena sober and alert, you're always looking through the eyes of God. Because his heart's manifesting in you during that area. Always manifesting. There's times when you want to say something, and all of a sudden the Lord will change you. Change your heart. To allow you to see something different than what you expect. How many times has the devil said something to you about someone? He's painted a picture about a job. He's painted a picture about a person. And when you get there, it's a total different thing. Because the heart of God gets manifested and it changes. Oh, hallelujah. So you and I are preparing a way. We are preparing a way not only for the Lord, but for someone to get rescued. Your readiness will be someone else's rescue. Mark 16. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Mark 16. Oh, praise God. 16:16. Of course, you knew we were going there. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's ready for service. We must be in a state of readiness to serve. Ready to pray. Ready to be still. Ready to forgive, repent, obey, submit. Ready to receive correction. Ready for reproach. Ready to attack. Ready to defend. Ready to be quiet. Ready to speak. Ready to give. Ready to receive. Ready to move. Ready to wait. Ready to endure. Ready to suffer. Ready to be rejected. See, the Holy Spirit's going to let you know when you're going to be rejected before it happens. If you're alert. If you're spiritually ready, you'll know things so that you don't get offended. It doesn't mean that you won't get offended. It's what you do with it. You must be ready to be misunderstood. But you must also be ready to love and to be loved. Never surrender to the enemy. Never. Never surrender. People who surrender to the enemy are not spiritually ready. Never surrender to the enemy. Never. Never come to the point where it's I give up, I'm giving, I'm, you know, whatever. Never. devil loves it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And then one more scripture. Hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Is everybody there? Therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master what? Prepared for every good work. Flee also useful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. How many of y'all know that the devil wants to take you to do his will? Amen. In the slightest way. That means there must be personal purification is required. Personal purification is required to be spiritual readiness, to be in an arena spiritually ready, to be alert and to be sober-minded, there must be personal purification. Everyone. What does it say? Unless a person cleanses himself from the latter. Cleanses himself. That means personal purification. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to close it. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And verse 11. Let's read this together. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God, of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Amen? Get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Father, thank you. And we ask that you'll position us, Lord, that we may be ready to be about your business in true spirit and in power. That we may be alert, that we may be sober-minded and sensitive. In a state of being prepared for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen?